Amen. Good morning, church. I hope that you have your Bible handy, and you may keep it open there to 1 Corinthians 12 as we look at the scriptures together. I look out and see that we have some new friends with us, some guests with us today. We're so glad that you're here. I trust that you were handed a program on your way in, and you'll find a study sheet to go along with this Bible lesson on page 3 of that program if you want to notice that and follow along. I hope that you can stick around for a couple of moments after services and get to know us, because we would love to get to know you. In fact, before I begin our study, I want to take just a moment to welcome a brother, our new brother with us for the summer, Brother Colin Slayton, who has come our way from LaGrange, Kentucky. In fact, I'm going to embarrass him, because that's the way we do. Colin, would you stand up real quick so everybody can see you? Brother Colin's been doing some appointment preaching at the Oldham Woods congregation, and he's going to be working with us in our summer preacher equipping program. And I know that you're going to feel right at home here, Colin, because this is a wonderful congregation, so encouraging for all of the young men who are giving themselves to preaching the gospel of Christ. And so, brethren, we'll be seeing him doing some preaching and involved in the Bible classes and just all around the place over the next few weeks. I'm very, very excited about it. Now, we take feedback from these summer program efforts. And one of the things that was suggested last year, new for this year, is to put out a meal list. Meet the summer preacher meal list. And that is there on the back table. People are saying, you know, we don't know what his schedule is, and we sure would like to get together with him. And so check out that meal list and see if you could take him out for a supper one night this summer or for a lunch. That's on the back table there. And it'll be a wonderful way to encourage a brother as we are all working together to know the gospel and to share the gospel with the people around us. Well, we saw in our scripture reading just now that Brother Derek read so well, just as a body needs every part, so the church needs every member. Members must contribute and receive so that all needs are supplied. And no one can say to a brother or a sister in Christ, I have no need of you. It's just not true. And likewise, people were made to flourish in community. We cannot say, I don't need people. We need one another. In fact, we need the church. The wonder of providence is how our God, the true God, sees and works to supply our needs, and just when we need him. Perhaps even needs that we do not fully understand. And what I'm learning is that there are a great many needs that God has determined he will meet through his body of people, through his church. But this morning I'm wanting to focus on a particular need, and that is for community. That truly we need one another. We need the people of God. We need the church. And perhaps in more ways than we realize. Just this week, the U.S. Surgeon General issued an 82-page report titled, Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. And what it details is a variety of negative consequences due to a loss of social connection. That is, that our society is pursuing behaviors which are more individualistic and isolating than ever before. And research from the past 40 years demonstrated the negative effects of social isolation. And as you might guess, the COVID-19 pandemic with its quarantines and its lockdowns greatly hampered, greatly harmed social connection for so many people. And there was a call to action in that report, and the call to action in part is Americans need to rebuild social connection and community. Friends, the church is the people of God. The church is the household of faith. The church is the family of God. The church is community. Christians have a unique blessing in sharing this special community, and also, I believe, a unique opportunity to uphold the gospel to this world. When the world notices a spiritual problem, let's tell them God's answer, the Bible's answer. That in Christ, we are never alone. For we have Christ, and we have the church of Christ. We have one another. We need the church. So let's talk about it for a few moments this morning. As we go to the notes, I want to begin to share with you the problem. The problem of loneliness and despair. And I'm sharing with you some things that are really quite heartbreaking. We live in one of the safest, most prosperous countries of all time. And yet, did you know that over the last few years, the average life expectancy has gone down for our neighbors and in our society? That is, in 2016, the average life, combined life was 78.7 years. But by 2021, it had dropped to 76.4 years. Why is that? People have been wondering about that. People have been studying this phenomenon. And one aspect of this shift in numbers that I think will weigh heavy on your heart, it weighs on mine, is an increase in the number of suicides and deaths by despair in our country. Deaths by despair. These are deaths that are preventable, but they are the result of people's self-destructive behaviors like drug abuse, alcohol abuse, unintentional overdosing and so forth, or the health effects of prolonged use of drugs and substances. People are isolated. People are lonely. They're hurting. And when they're hurt, they do great harm to themselves. In fact, one of the headlines that was captured by the Surgeon General's warning was this. This graphic, lacking social connection, is as dangerous as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. It's really something to think about. There's been a great effort to educate people on the harms of smoking and over a prolonged period of time, and it'll shorten the years of your life. And I'm not necessarily talking about the morality of smoking or not smoking, but we all know it's bad for you. And likewise, the loneliness and what that leads people to do brings people in all manner of harm that shortens their lives, according to this. Another study I want to bring to your attention was done by the Journal of the American Medical Association. The study was titled Religious Service Attendance and Deaths Related to Drugs, Alcohol, and Suicide Among U.S. Healthcare Professionals. And what this study, which was published in 2020, it was evaluating 66,492 female registered nurses from 2001 to 2017. And one of the things that they observed was that participants who attended religious services at least once per week had a 68% lower hazard for death by despair and a 75% lower hazard for suicide. I was reading over that and I began to think in my mind about the number of people we have in this congregation who are healthcare workers. And God bless you for your service and how you help people that way. And I really haven't thought enough about some of the stress and difficulties that you have in your job altogether, but certainly in the last few years. I was encouraged by these numbers in that for those who are involved in a fellowship, for those who attend religious services, for those who participate, it is much better for health and lowering death by despair and, God forbid, suicide. In January of 2023, this year, there was another big study published by the National Bureau of Economic Research. The study by that group found that the number of deaths by despair actually has been slowly rising in our nation since 1990, but there's been a huge uptick since 2020. But they also noted in their report that these deaths were preceded, I got to underline, by a large decline in organized religious participation. In fact, what was the title of this study? Deaths of Despair and the Decline of American Religion. Isn't that fascinating? To discover this correlation of dropping out of religious participation and the loneliness, isolation, the difficulties that lead to much self-harm. Now, just real quick, can I point out that I'm not sharing any information with you this morning from the Barna Research Group or the Lifeway Research Group or some conservative think tank? I'm not. This is a bunch of CDC numbers and major medical journals, okay? The kind of the secular world and their observations, if you will. And yet both studies suggest that religious service attendance and participation is associated with the lower risk of death by despair. these studies uncovered a loss of connectedness. That people suffer from a loss of connection, and they suffer from a loss of connection uniquely found in a church community. And that without that connection, without that community, we are far worse off. Isolation, anxiety, stress, despair, loneliness, these will grind people down. And people will turn to self-medication, self-harm, unless they can gain some connection, unless they gain community. And so I want to ask you, does the church have a role, have a work amidst the world suffering and dying in sin? Yes. Yes, we do. That God has provided His church with a mission to seek and to save the lost, to shine as light in the darkness, to call people to come into the community, into the body of Christ, where God meets these needs. We need the church. We need to be together and we need to be close together. Let's go to number two. And let's talk about the potential of mere proximity. Being close with other people. Spatially close with other people. Ah, the potential of mere proximity. Probably everybody knows and would agree that we have a need to belong. You feel it, I feel it. I want to fit in with people. I want to belong somewhere. We really do have a need for social connection. That is, I need associations, you need associations, friendships, community. And I'm going to show you some studies that bear that out. But if we'd start with the Bible, we'd know this. If we would recognize the way God designed us, we would know this. For in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And so He makes Eve and He creates marriage. And here is the foundational element of society, of culture, of flourishing. It is the family. If we would listen to God's wisdom, we would know of our need of association, connection. For the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Oh, that fellowship, that companionship, this social connection, it is good according to God's word. A major study on community and forming community that was published in 1995 in the Psychological Bulletin, it was actually called The Need to Belong. It's longer than that. Desire for interpersonal attachments is a fundamental human motivation. I like the need to belong. I think I can remember that one. And that's the gist of this report. What it found was this, that social bonds form easily, with mere proximity, being a potent factor in relationship formation. They wrote this, quote, "People seem to form favorable views toward whomever they spend time with, even if these others are members of a previously disliked or stereotyped group." What are they saying? If you want to make associations and understand people, then spend time with people. Spend time together with people. Get near people. Human beings are motivated by a need to belong. The basic assumption is how community forms is people get close together and they talk and they spend some time together. And doesn't that make sense? I mean, it really does kind of make sense. But I said a moment ago, it was published in 1995. And there are a few things that seems to have changed about the culture and the way people interact since 1995. For some of you, that's before you were born. And for some of us, it was a bit of a memory. What's different? Well, for one thing, people today don't really know their neighbors. And it seems like they don't really want to know their neighbors. Today in our society, extroverts are viewed as a little bit the weirdos. Or maybe annoying. What is it with this guy? Why does he wave at me? You know? Why does he want to talk to me? What's that about? Even when people are gathered in waiting rooms or in an elevator or sitting on an airplane, we try to avoid proximity. Like, I can't get closer to you than sitting next to you on an airplane, but I want to pretend it's not happening. So how do I do that? Right? So I put on my headphones. I put in the earbuds. I get out my device and I look down. And if that doesn't tell the world I'm actually alone, it's kind of like, have you ever played hide and seek with a 3-year-old? And they say, I hide. Are they hidden? No. And we do, I'm alone, don't talk to me. Are we alone? Actually, there's people all around us. But we have become proximity adverse. Proximity adverse. And proximity might really be the key to connection and beginning to form community, but we are adverse. And maybe people think they don't really need interpersonal connection. They don't really need to be close with people and the people who are close by. But actually, God's word says that we do. And why would we think otherwise? Any of you, I know we got some college grads and all that good stuff. So several of you had some psychology classes, I know. I bet you got to be taught this, or you'll remember it when you see the picture. But Dr. Maslow and his hierarchy of needs. And this was a great Harvard psychologist who studied on the motivations of human beings. And I will tell you that, you know, there are some Christians who take some issue with this because there doesn't really seem to be a spiritual component to this triangle at all. And so I'm going to acknowledge that, or this pyramid, and be that as it may, most people would agree this is a pretty good model. This kind of talks about what motivates people and the things that they want to see and realize and get a hold of in their life, and pretty much in this order. That people are looking to get their physiological needs met, their air, their food, their water, their shelter, the safety needs met, that there is security and employment. And you get those things checked off, and then you start looking out around yourself to meeting needs that really the community fulfills, society fulfills, right? Like love and belonging. We get this from friendship, from intimacy, a sense of connection, or even esteem that we feel when there is respect and status and recognition. I can't have those things necessarily myself, but I'm going to find them from others. I might gain them in the sight of others in the culture, in the society. And then finally, all of that kind of being taken care of, then we look to ourselves. And how can I make the most of myself and all that I can be? Is that still the way people are operating today? There are some who have suggested that this pyramid is getting shifted, and maybe to detrimental consequences. Today it might look a little bit more like this, and a disordering of needs. Because we live in this wealthy, prosperity, safe nation, even with social safety nets, a lot of us don't think twice about safety needs or physiological needs. I mean, that's just a given. We just got that. And then these other things that typically have come from a community, well, the modern trend toward isolation and virtual community, people want to skip it and pursue fulfillment of love, of belonging, of esteem through self-actualization. Just goes on at the top. That the self is the preeminent. With the modern belief that ultimate fulfillment is going to be found in self-actualization. And so we'll find self-love there, and we'll find self-esteem there, and it's all going to be about the individual and the self. What that means is that people today are trying to stick the landing at the top of the pyramid, trying to make it all about self, all about the individual, trying to get community needs met by, well, really by doing it by themselves in isolation. Virtual connections, social media, screens, those things replace the physical proximity, the space and connection of people around us. Yeah, people are trying to stick that landing on the top of the pyramid. We're going to do it all by ourselves. But really, we can't stick that landing. We're pretty bad at sticking that landing. And that's all that information I shared with you in the first point. What if we thought about the importance of connection, the importance of one another, and drew our own pyramid of community? Now, I heard a fantastic presentation along these lines from a brother in Texas named Del Purdy, Dying for Community. And this is his pyramid, and I wanted to share it with you. I thought it was a pretty good pyramid. He fixes Maslow's oversight. You start with faith. You start with God. That's the base of the pyramid. And so for community, we start with God and God's ways, and that means finding our place in the local church. And maybe there might be small groups that come out of that as well, accountability groups and so forth. And from there, we look at the community of our physical family. One of the blessings of the Lord's church is for people who are orphans or widows, or would say they have no family, you have God's family. You have God's family. And so is the family of faith, but then there is the physical family. Then we think about what I'll just sum up as friendships, relationships that are built around a person. Circumstances may change, but you're going to stay close to that person. Then you've got activity-based community, and that's the soccer team, right? And man, those soccer players are the best buddies that we got for about 6 weeks, and then the soccer season's over. And you might make a friend out of that, but you're not going to stick around with that same team, you know, a year from now, or whatever the activity might be. And then at the top, the virtual community. The social media, the algorithm-based media feeds that provide connection to an alternate community, but they actually result in isolation. We actually spend an awful lot of time alone. I think there's a lot to that. What I want to say is that people have needs. And I'm encouraged by the scripture, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 9, "And my God shall supply all your needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And when he says that all of our need is supplied, all means he leaves nothing out. Nothing is left out of all. But how is it that God supplies our need for social connection and for community? And again, I will tell you that it is in the church that we need the church. And so let's talk about that in light of this need. Number three in the notes, I used the word providence early on. It really is the providence of God, of the Lord's church. How should Christians respond to information like this? And I think the first thing that I want to do, and how I've been humbled by it, is I just want to confess, I need the church. We need the church. And I want to say thank you, God, for your church. How God sees and supplies needs that I may not even realize I have. But I sure can see how I hurt myself when I try to deny it. I think we confess that we need God's way. That Brother Edwin is good to remind us from time to time, God's way works. God's way works. And God's church is in his plan, and it meets so many good needs for us. What I want to begin to recognize is that we need personal spirituality and community with other Christians. We need both. I meet people all the time that say, I don't know that I'm interested in organized religion. I don't know why you would need to even go to church. I mean, I have a Bible and I pray. Or some people can kind of invent their own sort of spirituality today. I'll tell you where my church is. I go out into the middle of the woods somewhere and I have a quiet time with God, and that's my church. Why would I go where there's a group of people on a Sunday? That's my church. I don't know if you've ever heard anything like that, but someone told me that story directly. Okay, I've heard that. And this is not any slight on our need for personal time with God. There is a time for the secret place, for the closet where we go to pray and to be alone with God. There is that, but not to the exclusion of Christian community. We need Christians. In fact, if you remember some of the words, personal spirituality, that can't replace being in the community with other believers. One of the reports we read said this, that the distinguishing feature was a lack of participation in organized religion. They didn't say that death by despair resulted from declining in personal spirituality. They stopped being a part of a local church. That was the correlation they uncovered. And so we need both. We need to appreciate that God provides a body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Verse 20 from our scripture reading this morning, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. C.S. Lewis shared some commentary on this passage in an essay called Membership. He said, Paul's talking about bodily organs, things essentially different from and complementary to one another. Essentially different. The eye is not the ear. They are essentially different. But you need to have them both. And they both receive and they both supply, provide, give for the good of the body. That's how it works together. He wrote this, the Christian is called not to individualism, but to membership in the mystical body. People are missing the gospel. They're missing the teaching of the New Testament. When they say, I'm saved in Christ, I'm right with Jesus, and I have nothing to do with the church. I have nothing to do with the church, the one you read about in the scriptures. No. You cannot have the head without the body. They go together. They go together. We're not called to individualism. It is membership in the church. And so we learn from this that it would be wrong to overemphasize certain gifts in the body of Christ. Maybe we'd get things out of order, and maybe an eye would start to think an eye is really something without the ear. If every eye went all the time saying, what a lovely eye you have. I'm so glad you have that eye. There is no eye like your eye. And then my eye might start to think, you know, I think that's right. Maybe we are in danger of overemphasizing those public acts of worship or public manifestations of the church, talking about how great the preacher is and the song leader, or at least lifting that before the people and being forgetful of the day in and day out, behind the scenes, work and service. That really, I mean, that's the lifeblood of the church, and that's where all the members are supplying something. And that's not to knock the preachers and the song leaders. It's just to understand that we all have our part to supply. We all have our part to supply, and we need to value all of it. It would be wrong to think of each other or think of people in the church as only consumers or only producers. Let us understand that life in the church is not transactional like a business. Part of learning the gospel is learning that we are not spiritual shoppers. And we come here because we think we get the best deal on a spiritual service or the best spiritual product at this place. But if there's a better product comes along, we could be tempted, you know. It's not like that. We're members of a body. We're members of a family. Members of a household of God. And so every member receives, yes. But every member contributes, each in turn, according to the need, the circumstance, the opportunity. Because we're about supplying as much as receiving in the body of Christ. Well, how does that work? How am I supposed to know what my role is? I mean, we kind of eyes and ears, but I mean, what am I supposed to do in the church? You know what God has given us in the church? He's given us one another. He's given us one another. And at times when we are growing and looking for ways to serve and to participate in local church, we wonder, what's my place? What's my role? Read some of these one another passages. Well, there's a great number of them in the New Testament. In fact, we're going to start a Bible class in the auditorium tonight at 5 o'clock called One Another. And so if you'd like to know what you can do and how you can grow and serve, well, come be a part of that Bible class, right? I'm going to go through a bunch of them. I'm just going to highlight a few that kind of go along with our subject this morning. He's given us to one another first from Galatians 6 verse 2, that we might bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we talk about isolation, and loneliness, and all the kind of things that have been coming out of that, just appreciate that's some real burdens that people are carrying. Real challenges. Struggles with mental health, or if it's not your own, it's your loved ones, and people are going through that together. And there's really not many of us that either ourselves or someone in our family or close proximity aren't struggling with these kinds of things. These are real burdens. If we share our burdens, and the church is here to help lift them up. And sometimes it's my turn to help and lift. Sometimes I need to be honest to lay my burden down with my brethren. But that's one another. Sometimes it's you and sometimes it's me. Confess, James 5, verse 16, your trespasses to one another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Isolation and loneliness. I'll tell you something that affects Christians is when we're getting ourselves wrapped up in the traps or trappings of sin. We get into cycles of guilt and shame and isolation, and we don't want the light to come in on any of that. But what he encourages us in the scripture is to speak to brethren about this, brothers and sisters in Christ. Confess. So sometimes I need to confess and sometimes I need to hear. Again, to encourage and to pray for one another. And my, the power of prayer for one another. Sometimes I need you to pray for me. And I, you know, again, the preacher, I get prayed for, I think, a lot. And I thank you for everyone. And every time, what do I say? I'll take all of it I can get. And everyone say, he needs all of it you can get. You know, we spend time together. But I really do. I really do. I want the prayers. I want all the prayers. So thank you for praying for me. But it's all the brothers and sisters that need prayers. We all got stuff going on. If we share it, we can pray for one another. We can lift up one another. And it's so important that we do. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, if you're following along in the outline, we're going to fill in two from this verse. So the first one would be the word comfort or encourage one another. Comfort or encourage one another. The second one is edify or build up one another. Both in this verse. We need to be encouraged. What I shared with you this morning was tough learning about and tough talking about. It's very discouraging. Even empathize and think about people, you know, that have those kind of struggles. And no, it's not those people. It's our people. It's us. It's people, right? It's people in the room. And just want to give voice to that. And I want to encourage you in the Word of God. I want to encourage you in the love and the fellowship of the church. And building up one another is about how important it is in the association of the body that we are teaching one another. And challenging one another, really, to step up and to serve and to grow and to do better in the way of the Lord. Being gracious and merciful with those that are a little behind, helping them along. But know that people are reaching down to lift us up as well. Edify. And finally, from 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren. Who? The brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. And in the providence of the Lord's church, may it always be that body of love and that safe place of love in Christ and directed by Christ. I think that our hope ought to be that everyone would be a healthy, thriving member of the body of Christ. And what that might look like for Christians and members of the church today is that we are endeavoring to complement one another, that we are being one another and encourage development of Christian character. And it may be that there's one here in the room today who's an unbeliever, who is not a Christian. And my hope, our hope, is to see the divine handiwork of God who has created you to be a part of the living, breathing body of Christ, who has gifted you and equipped you to be in the body of Christ, to receive and to supply, to be a member of His church. When a secular society notices a spiritual problem, the church needs to notice as well. Every heart needs the gospel. There's no alternative to the gospel. God sees our needs. He will supply them. There is the providence of the church. What I'm saying this morning is, we need the church. And you don't know someone who does not need the church. I appreciate so much your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away and put your notes away. There's an epidemic of loneliness and isolation in this culture around us. But there is the family of God shining brightly as light in that darkness. and offering people a warm place to be in the love of Christ and in the love of the family of Christ. And I wonder where you are this morning. I wonder if you would take hold of this wonderful blessing of fellowship in the body of Christ. Become a Christian. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Be baptized that the Lord would add you to His body, add you to His church, and know these rich spiritual blessings in Christ. And it may be that there is a member of the Lord's church who's here today, and the things we've talked about with loneliness and isolation, that's really been resonating with you. That's really where you are. Well, may I pray for you? You can come forward and we'll all pray together. Or I'll be around in the lobby when service is over. I just want you to know you're not walking alone when you're in Christ. You have Christ. You have the church of Christ, the family of Christ. And we're going to be together for the glory of Christ. If we can help you and minister to any spiritual need, I invite you to come forward and make it known. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?